Chapter 1. The name of the message today is One True Gospel. Now, there is only one true gospel. There's not multiple ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. And the one who said that there's one way to heaven is God incarnate in the flesh himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we know as believers that Christ is our salvation. He's our salvation. Outside of Christ, we don't have salvation. We have nothing outside of Christ. So with that in our minds, let's read here. Paul's writing again to the Galatians. They've been seduced by the Judaizers. They've been bewitched, Paul writes later on in the book, by the Judaizers. And they've been told that you must be circumcised in order to be saved along with Christ. Well, we know 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, we looked at when Christ said it's finished. That means it's finished. And we usually say the work's complete. But in the, I found out in the Greek, and I shared it with you all, and I'm going to share it again. We found out in the Greek that that just doesn't mean to be complete. It means to be bought to perfection. Oh, my. The work is perfect. There's nothing to be added to it. If something's perfect, there's nothing to be added to it. So this work that Christ did on Calvary's cross and the redemption of sinners by the shedding of his precious blood is a perfect work, beloved. Perfect work. That's what we rest in, right? We rest in the truth that Christ finished the work. There's nothing for us to do. You know, when we say flee to Christ, you're looking to Christ by God-given faith, but there's nothing we can do for salvation. Nothing. Paul said to the Philippian jailer who asked, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Just believe. And we do by God-given faith, don't we? When we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, we're granted faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we look to Him. We believe. We believe. It's wondrous. There's nothing we do. We're simply receivers of this great grace and this great mercy. And so with that in mind, let's read what Paul writes here to the Galatian church. He says, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. The sinless one gave himself for our sins. Paul's writing to a young church, and he says, Christ gave himself for our sins. Why? That he might deliver us from this present evil world. He might deliver us from our sins. And that's not might, it's truth. That might doesn't mean, well, maybe, it's dependent upon you. No, it means, it doesn't mean that. He delivered us, didn't he, from our sins. By the shedding of his precious blood. And whose will was it according to? Man's supposed free will, which our will is bound to our nature. It's not free. I remember A.W. Pink said, the Christian has free will. Now we start making decisions and choices based upon the new nature. I like that. Because when we were dead in sin, we were making decisions based upon our old nature. Now we're free. And Paul wrote this too. I was talking to Brother Donnie Bell about this yesterday. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. These Galatians had been yoked again with bondage. The bondage of the law. The bondage of being circumcised. Along with faith. If you add anything to the finished work of Christ, it's no longer the gospel. It's no longer good news. And so Paul writes them in chapter 5. We're going to look at that as we progress in the study. Stand fast in the liberty, the freedom. Beloved, we are free. We are truly emancipated. We were slaves, weren't we? We were slaves to our sin. Think of this. We were slaves to our sin. And we were on the like slaves on the slave block. And when slaves were brought to the slave block, they were looked at by people and then they were purchased, right? How have we been purchased? With the blood of Christ. And now we're absolutely free. Rejoice in that this week. Let that fill your heart. Meditate upon that. Let that fill your heart with joy. We're free, beloved. We have liberty in Christ. I don't think we really understand how free we are. But we're free. We're free from the bondage of sin. We're free from the slavery of sin. It's wonderful. We're free from the law of God, which demanded satisfaction, or the justice of God, too, that demanded satisfaction. We're free from all that. Free from the wrath of God, because it all fell upon Christ. My. And it's all according, we see here, according to the will of God and our Father. Isn't that wonderful? According to His will. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What else could we say? Glory be to God. Glory be to God. He's delivered us. He gave Himself for our sins and He delivered us from this present evil world, all according to the will of God. And then He says this in verse 6, I marvel that you are so suddenly removed from Him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And then Paul corrects himself in verse 7. He says, which is not another. This supposed gospel that their Judaizers are peddling is not a gospel, not the gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would, look at this, pervert the gospel of Christ. Anything that man makes you do to gain merit and favor with God is a perversion of the gospel. There is only one gospel. The gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. Well, people say, well, that's pretty narrow-minded. Well, the Lord Himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If we're going to be dogmatic about anything, let us be dogmatic about the gospel. Salvation is of the Lord, period. There's no wiggle room in there. There's no wiggle room in that. That's what the Scripture, Jonah 2:9 says, salvation is of the Lord. It's not of anything we do. Paul writes, he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. How? By the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit of God. My, oh my. So we see in verse 5, or in the first 5 verses of Galatians, it's brought forth evidently that there's only one gospel. And there's only salvation through Christ. It is He who's delivered us from our sins. And Him alone. And this salvation is only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. By His work. By His perfect work. The work, when He cried it's finished, the work was done to perfection. That means there's absolutely nothing to be added by us. When I saw that a couple of weeks ago, I was just, you know, I knew about it being complete, but I told Donnie Bell, I said, when I saw that it was bought to perfection, I was like a kid in a candy store being given $1 million to spend. I was so excited. Bought to perfection. My. Oh, how rich God's grace is. How rich His mercy is. How rich the salvation in Christ alone is. We are redeemed, beloved. We're purchased. Just like that slave off the slave block. We were purchased off the slave block of sin by the perfect, redeeming, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My. And we didn't even know it. Christ died 2,000 years ago for us. We didn't even know it. We're born into this world and we live our lives and we go astray and do all kinds of things. And then the Lord arrests us, doesn't He? We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Oh my, it's wonderful. And then we're taught by God the Holy Spirit. Not by man. We're taught by God the Holy Spirit that this work is complete, finished, perfect. And that God's elect have received eternal redemption, which was obtained by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. He obtained it by His finished, perfect work. He obtained it for us. He's sinless. He's spotless. He gave Himself for my sins. Gave Himself for your sins, Brother Travis. Your sins, sister. Your sins, brother. He gave Himself for us. It's wonderful. That's the best news I've ever heard. My. And this is why it's so important not to compromise on the gospel. This is why it's so important to preach what the Scriptures say. Salvation's of the Lord. Christ said, "You've not chosen me, I've chosen you." When? In eternity. This morning's message, we're going to see it's God who saved us. God who saved us. Not mere man, not any other man, but God incarnated in the flesh. He's our salvation. So it's important to make sure that what's sounding from this pulpit is the gospel. Not only for me as the preacher, but for you as the listeners too. It's important that from this church sounds the gospel. You ever think of us as like an outpost? This world's not our home, is it? No. I like looking at churches. This is just me as little military outpost. The Romans used to make outposts in certain areas. They'd leave a cohort of men there or a small group of men. They didn't need many men to defend an area. But they'd leave about 100 men behind, or sometimes less, in this little area. That's what we're like that, beloved. We're in the wilderness of this world. And we're like a little group of soldiers put in, because we're soldiers for Christ, aren't we? We are. We are. And Tom, you'd know more about that than being a soldier. But we're soldiers for Christ. We're placed here. This is where we are stationed, beloved. And it's wonderful. It's amazing. So out of here, it's important for us to make sure the gospel's going out, right? To make sure it's the true gospel. My. And how do we do that? Well, by listening to the message and hearing that it's by salvation is by grace alone, plus nothing we do. Nothing we do. And I have a responsibility as a preacher to not allow anybody in the pulpit who preaches any other message. And I guard the pulpit, I'll tell you that. I'm selective with who I have come in the pulpit. My, oh my, it's important to be that way. I was told a long time ago by a grace preacher, you guard the gospel. You have to go to church on Saturday to be saved. That's a Sabbatarian, that's a false gospel. I don't care how sincere they are, they're false gospels. You have to speak in tongues to be saved. That's a false gospel. Salvation's in Christ alone. By His perfect work. So again, it's important to make sure that from this pulpit, the one true gospel is being preached. And this is what we believe, isn't it? That salvation is in and through Christ alone. All because of God's amazing grace. If you're saved, you're saved according to God's amazing grace. I think about that often. I think, Lord, You had mercy on me. On me? All according to Your grace and mercy. And we just marvel, don't we? We just marvel at that fact. We know we're poor, wretched sinners, undeserving of this mercy and grace, and yet God bestows it upon us. Again, no one can be saved by a false gospel. Those who preach and those who believe another gospel cannot be saved. They just cannot be. Salvation is only in Christ by His perfect work. All religions do not lead to heaven. They do not. They do not at all. People say that, you're being harsh. You're being narrow-minded. If I had a nickel for every time I was called narrow-minded, I'd be a millionaire. I'm not narrow-minded, I just believe what the Scriptures say. Christ Himself, our Master, our Redeemer, the one who gave Himself for my sins, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I believe that. Do you? I believe that. There's no other way. That means Muhammad's wrong. People who follow Muhammad's wrong. That means people who follow Buddhism is wrong. People who follow Catholicism, which is basically Mary worship, is wrong. It means all those other religions, I don't care what ism it is, they're all wrong. They're all wrong, and millions, billions of people are following them. I was in that. I was brought from the darkness of Catholicism to the light of the gospel, and only by God's grace. Only by God's grace and mercy. The majority of religious folks are so blinded by the false religions. I was blinded when I was in Catholicism. Somebody asked me, "Do you know Christ?" "Oh, yeah, I know Christ." "No, do you really know him?" "No, I know that he's the Son of God. But you know," and this man challenged me. And man, the foundations of what I believe just started shaking. And then he showed me the verse. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. He says, you do not need to go to any priest to confess your sins. Oh man, the foundations started crumbling. That's what the Lord used me to, for me to start drawing me. That scripture was the scripture that he used. This is so dear to me because there is only one mediator. You don't have to go to the preacher. Don't come to me. Now, come to me and give me prayers to tell the other saints about. But don't come to me and ask me, I can't forgive you for your sins. See, these priests are deluded by their own religion, thinking that, well, you say 15 Hail Marys or you say 15 Our Fathers and you're good. What? So you're telling me that something I do will make me clean from those sins? No, there ain't nothing. See, so it's the blind leading the blind, beloved. And I always wondered when I went in them confessionals, I never really told them all the stuff. I never told them how really bad I thought. I never told them. Now when I think things like that, I'm like, oh Lord, please forgive me. Why am I thinking like that? It's so different, isn't it? It's all because of God's amazing grace, beloved. So let's read verse 6 again. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul's astonished with them. He's astonished that they've been removed from Christ. Now, we know they've not been totally removed because they're backsliding, beloved. They're backsliding. My. And listen to what Paul says. Listen to what Paul says here. And again, remember that he's writing here to these Galatians, right? They're born-again, blood-washed saints. They profess to love God and to love Christ. But they've been enticed to abandon the gospel. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. And remember, this is by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He said, even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then there is no more works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then there is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. Let's turn there, actually. Let's turn there and look. This is worth looking at. Romans 11, verses. This is worth looking at in light of what we're looking at here. So what these Judaizers have been teaching is not a gospel. No. No, it leads to spiritual bondage. And it leads to eternal damnation for those who believe it. Look at this in Romans 11, verses 5 and 6. Look at this. And again, remember, this is the Holy Spirit of God who's inspired Paul to write these words. He writes, even so then at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Right now, even, beloved, in this world, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. God's people are the remnant. And there's more sheep out there, we know, because he hasn't wrapped everything up, right? So there's more sheep out there. When the last sheep is saved, it'll be all wrapped up. Then look what he says here. Look at this, in light of what we're studying. And if by grace, then there is no more of works. So if you're saved by grace, it's no more of works. There's nothing to be added. Because Christ's work is perfect. And he says, otherwise, grace is no more grace. Look at that. So if you add works to grace, it's no more grace. It's so clear, isn't it? It's so clear. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Look at that. A stitch of your righteousness, a stitch of my righteousness, it's no more grace. It's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. But isn't it so clear there? And this is by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He's having Paul pen these words that if it be by grace, if you're saved by grace through faith in Christ, then there's no works done by us. The work's already done. But if you add works, then it's no more grace. So clear, isn't it? Yet, I didn't see that until the Lord saved me. I used to think it was based upon what I was doing. My, oh my. So Paul here is astonished that the Galatians were being lured away from the one true gospel by false teachers. So Paul's purpose in writing this epistle is to expose them. To expose their teaching. And to reprove the Galatians too. Right? Because the Scripture is given to us to reprove us. For correction and righteousness, right? It's meant to keep us on track. And so he's seeking to establish the believers. And he does it right away. Look at he does it right away by preaching the gospel to them in verse 4. He's establishing them. He's grounding them in the truth right away. Before he does any kind of correction, he's establishing them in the truth. These false teachers had crept into the Galatian churches, and we see they perverted the one true gospel by adding works. So it's not another gospel. It's a perversion. It's a perversion. So we can conclude that anything added to the finished work of Christ then is a perversion of the gospel. Because that's what Paul's saying here, right? It's a perversion of the gospel. We can conclude that. And these false teachers sought to mingle works with the work of Christ. Works of man with the works of Christ. With faith in Christ. And they were trying to persuade the people to abandon the gospel that Paul had taught them. That he preached to them. And that the Holy Spirit had enlightened them to. When they were born again. Again, they're seeking to add to faith in Christ the works of the law. Right? What does the Scripture say? Look to Christ and live. How do we do that? By faith. Alone. By faith alone. So the Apostle Paul has taught them that Christ crucified is the all-sufficient and the effectual Savior. He's all-sufficient. God is satisfied with Him. And that faith in Him is the only way we can receive His finished salvation. It's the only way. Turn, if you would, again to Romans chapter 5 this time. Romans chapter 5. This truth is so evidently brought forth in the Scripture, so clearly brought forth here in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. The Scripture proclaims by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Look at this. But God commanded His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't even born 2,000 years ago. But God knows the end from the beginning, right? While we were yet sinners, what's it say? Christ died for us. Paul's writing to born-again, blood-washed believers. My, this is wonderful. And it says this, much more than being now justified by His blood, oh my, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We're saved from the wrath of God, beloved, through Christ. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Look, it's all Christ-centered. The only thing in here for us is we've received the atonement. We're saved by His life, and we know by His death. He did it all. He did it all. And now we're reconciled. We were enemies in our minds with God, and now we're reconciled to God. It's just beautiful. So Paul defines the unique gospel. He defines the gospel in a unique way in verse 6 back in Galatians chapter 1. Look at this, what he says here. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called for Christ. We have nothing to glory in. We're just unprofitable servants, the Scripture says. But we're used by God to preach the gospel. But oh my, we have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. I must preach the gospel. I must. A young preacher was going through some tough times. And the old preacher got a hold of him on the phone. And he said, you know, so many times I just wanted to quit. But I can't. And neither can you, eh? And the young preacher said, no, I can't quit at all. You can't. No, you can't. You can't do anything else. You just want to preach the gospel. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. God's so good. Oh, He's so good. So, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's in 1 Corinthians 9:16. My, oh my. And to venture any degree outside of the finished work of Christ when preaching the gospel, and again, outside the established scriptures inspired by God, is to preach another gospel. And look at Galatians 1. Look at verses 8 and 9. Look at the just punishment due to such deliberate error, which is brought forth in these verses. Now, these are serious words. When we get down here, these are serious words here. He says in verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. Let him be anathema. That's strong language, beloved. And he says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Whew, that's strong language. We're going to see that as we study those verses. That's strong language. And these Galatians had professed to believe the gospel. It was preached and confirmed by the apostle. And they'd been thankful. They received it with gladness. Right? They received it with gladness. As though he were an angel sent by God. And yet within a short time, these converts were seduced by the elegant words of these false teachers. To renounce Paul and the gospel of Christ and to receive in its place a message that is contrary to the gospel of God. Therefore, he wrote this letter, we know, by divine inspiration, right? He was inspired to write this letter. So that condemnation we saw in verses 8 and 9, the Holy Spirit had him off to that. That's how jealous God is over His Son. Oh my! Scripture says God won't share His glory with anyone. If man's trying to supposedly say that they add to the finished work of Christ, then they're glorying in something they do. God will not share His glory. That's why Paul, again, said, I have nothing to glory of. We preachers, we don't have nothing. The only thing we have to glory in is Christ, just like you. Glory in Christ and Him. Glory in what He's done for us. So he wrote this letter by divine inspiration. And it's got some indignation in it. It's got some sorrow. And he's astonished. He's astonished that those he preached to have so easily been swayed away from the true gospel. And Paul brings forth again in the first six verses the singularity of the gospel. There's no compromise with Paul. He will not compromise on the gospel. And we see that in verses 6 and 7. He will not compromise with the one true gospel. And may we, who are gospel preachers, preach the gospel the same way Paul did, with no compromise. We preach it in love. Of course, we preach it in love. But we won't compromise on the gospel. And you don't want us to. No, the body of Christ don't want the preachers to, who are the fellow persons of the body of Christ. You don't want us. You don't want us to compromise at all. You know, we could fill this place if we watered down the gospel. I refuse to do it. And I know you don't want me to either. No. We won't do that. Not at all. Salvation is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ by His perfect, sovereign, sin-atoning work. And then nothing to be added to it. My, the very reason for the flourishing of Christianity in pagan Rome, in the Roman world in which it was born, was the non-compromising spirit of our forefathers. They'd go to death before they'd compromise the gospel. They'd go to death before they renounced Christ. Because they'd been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. There's only one gospel. It must not be altered. It cannot be altered. It cannot be mixed and diluted with human works. It cannot be. You mix oil and water and what happens? It separates, doesn't it? It's the same with grace and works. I remember I used to go in my dad's shop. He was a trailer mechanic. I'd go in there, there'd be oil on the floor and everything, and I'd see where some water had crept into that oil, and you could see the distinct difference. It did not mix. So we have lessons right before us, don't we? They do not mix. The gospel does not, the true gospel of salvation by Christ alone does not mix with human works. They just do not mix. So we must uphold the gospel in its purity. As men and women around us are in a helpless, hopeless state. We rejoice that the gospel goes forth from here because it goes out into the world and Lord willing, it reaches men and women who are in a helpless, hopeless state, just like we were. We have a hope now, don't we? We have a hope in Christ now. Why? Because of the gospel. Because of what Christ done. Because of the Holy Spirit regenerating us. It's wonderful. God didn't leave us dead in our trespasses and our sins. He regenerated us, beloved. And He gave us faith to believe. And we know He's got more sheep out there. So out goes the gospel message. And He uses it for His glory. We don't even know how He's using it. And I like that. I like that because then we don't boast, do we? Tom and I were looking at what's happened with the message. You just marvel at that. It's like, look what God's done. This is amazing. It's all His glory. He gets all the glory. Because that message goes, and like you said, Travis, we don't know how many other people are listening. Oh my goodness. It's amazing. But it's a good thing we don't know. It's a good thing we don't know, beloved. My, oh my. So let God use the preaching of the gospel for His glory and for His honor and for His praise. And we just keep meeting here each week. We just keep rejoicing in the work that Christ has done for us. Oh my. It fills our heart with joy, doesn't it, beloved? I had a couple more pages, but I did it. I got talking and got carried away, but that's okay. It's a great gospel, isn't it? It's a great gospel. And it's free. It costs Christ, but it's free for we who receive it. We don't do anything to earn it. We don't merit it. It's given to us freely by the grace of God. Let us think upon that this week. It'll make you shout for joy. I'll tell you what, it'll make your heart leap. It will. Glory be to God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercy and goodness and grace to us. Oh, we who are Your people.